Okay, a couple of Shabbos came up recently relating to Maaseh Shabbos, so I thought it would be an interesting topic to just summarize the basic yesodos of again. One Shiloh that came up was a fellow told me that someone who runs an NCSY group said that he has there's a kid that's an NCSYer who comes from a large family. Some members of the family are religious, some members of the family are not religious, a large extended Bukharian family, and they all eat their Shabbos lunch together every single Shabbos. And the ones who are religious are coming from shul to the house to eat lunch, and others are coming from the beach or whatever, not this time of year, but whatever, they're coming from, and they're coming in the car, and they all get together and they each bring some food. And he said they all keep a kosher home, but some of them just happen to be Mechalei Shabbos. So the question is that one of the aunts and uncles brings in their car the potato kugel or whatever they're bringing with them, and they're driving it over on Shabbos. Are they allowed to partake of that kugel? And then a similar shayla came up last week. Some chevra was having a Friday night meal, and one of the chevra was no longer religious, and he bought the challah for the meal, and it came to their attention that this fellow had purchased the challah 26 minutes after Shkia on Friday night. So the shayla is, are they allowed to partake of that challah? So all of these are shaylas that relate to the basic issue of Maaseh Shabbos, which could be found in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yud Ches, Si'if Aleph. What happens when a Jew does malacha for you or for himself on Shabbos? Can you benefit from that malacha? So the basic background is that there is a sugya in Chulin Daf Tezvav. So if you're in Rav Shechter's here, you're up to it. Otherwise, you're probably not. But in Chulin Daf Tezvav, the Gemara has a three-way machlokas. It appears in a couple of different places in Shas. Only two are relevant lahalacha, two of the three shitos. That what happens if a Jew is mevashal b'Shabbos, or he does some malacha on Shabbos? Rav Meir holds that if he did it b'shogeg, everyone is allowed to benefit from it, even the guy who did it immediately on Shabbos. However, if he did it b'mezid, then nobody's allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos, but as soon as Shabbos is over, then everybody is allowed to benefit from it. However, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is no. If it was done b'shogeg, everyone could benefit from it after Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. If it was done b'mezid, then the fellow who did it is never allowed to benefit from it. Other people are allowed to benefit from it on Motzai Shabbos. So how do we paskin? So in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Ches Seif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, which is the more machmir of the two shitos that we mentioned. It's really the middle shita, but it's the more machmir of the two shitos that we mentioned. And the Gro and Bir HaGra says he paskins like Rabbi Meir, like shitos Rabbi Meir. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that you can rely on the Gro when it's a makom atzorech, when there's a significant tzorech, you can rely on the shita of Rabbi Meir, and therefore allow a shogeg to be benefited from on Shabbos. That a Jew does a malacha b'shogeg, you could, if it's a makom atzorech, you could rely on that and benefit from that malacha on Shabbos. He doesn't say that you could rely on it if a Jew did something b'mezid to rely on Shitas Rabbi Meir and benefit from it, because everyone would agree that if a Jew did something b'mezid, it's mutter on Motzai Shabbos for other people. The only disagreement about mezid is about the guy himself. So why would we be makel for the guy himself if it's a makom atzorech? This guy just did a malacha b'mezid. But there are other factors that have to be taken into account as well. First of all, we have to define who is the one who did the malacha and who is acherim, who are other people. In Yeridea, when we talk about bitulis l'chadchila, so Misha Nasa Bishvilo is considered the guy himself. But over here, the Mishnah Berurah points out that even if he did it for you, if you're not the one that did it, you are considered acherim. You're in that category. Also, it should be noted that there's a difference between when a Jew does malacha on Shabbos and when a non-Jew does malacha on Shabbos. And ironically, it's a little more chamur when a non-Jew does malacha on Shabbos for you. That if you have a non-Jew do malacha on Shabbos, you have to wait, the Shulchan Aruch says, b'kdei sheya'asu, the amount of time that it would take to have the malacha done. Why are we more machmir by a non-Jew than we are by a Jew? So the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch explain that there's a much greater concern that you'll be mezalzel in amir la'akum, and a much greater concern that the person will listen to you when it's a guy. Meaning, it's a much greater concern that if we allow you to benefit from a malacha that was done on Shabbos by a non-Jew right after Shabbos, that you'll come to start asking the non-Jew to do things for you on Shabbos all the time. And then you'll be able to benefit from it right after Shabbos. So it will actually provide you with some benefit by making you wait. B'kidei sheyasu, it will turn out that you didn't gain anything by asking him to do it on Shabbos. So you have no motivation to ask him to do it on Shabbos. But when it comes to a Jew, we're not afraid that you're going to start asking a Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. And even if we were afraid that you're going to ask a Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos, we're not afraid that a Jew is going to listen to you and do malacha on Shabbos. Because after all, he's a Jew. So the Ksav Sofer points out in the Tshuva that what if the Jew happens to be a mumar? He's someone who is your employee and he cooks for you all the time. He does malachas for you all the time and has no problem doing malachas on Shabbos. So the Ksav Sofer suggests that in that case, the Jew becomes more chamur than a non-Jew. And then you would never be allowed to benefit from that malacha, because there you're very likely to ask him to do it again, and he is very likely to listen. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in the Tshuva in Har Tzvi in Siman Kuf Pei, it's very mistaver what the Ksav Sofer says, but we are not authorized to make brand new gezeros. And the Ksav Sofer, while what he's saying has svara to it, the Chazal never made such a gezera, so we can't make new gezeros that when a Jewish mumar does malacha, that you're never going to be allowed to benefit from it. Prima Gadim is not sure if a mumar is dino ka'akum in this regard, that maybe he has the din of a guy and therefore you have to wait b'kidei sheyasu. He's mesupik about it. And then the Mishnah Berurah adds two other leniencies to also take into account. Number one, if it's subject to machlokas, if there's some sort of machlokas whether what he did is actually usur, so then you can benefit from the malacha that he did, because he's relying on a valid opinion that it's actually mutter. Also, he says, if what he did was only a malacha derabanan, so b'shogeg, if it was b'shogeg, you could be mekel to benefit from it on Shabbos. So now let's apply all of that to these cases that we were talking about. So these cases, were they shogeg or were they mazid? In both situations, it was a Jew who knew better and was doing the malacha, so it was a situation of mazid. So both according to the Shulchan Aruch and according to the Gra, both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Meir, other people are not allowed to use it on Shabbos. You're only allowed to use it on Motzai Shabbos. And over here, in both of these cases, this was food that was purchased or brought for the Shabbos meal. They wanted to be able to use it on Shabbos, and it was a Jew who had done it. And in one of these cases, it was a drabanan that was violated. The other one was a daraisa. Driving a car on Shabbos is a daraisa, unless it's a Tesla, maybe. But a malacha drabanan is violated when you purchase something from a store. It's a mekach memkar on Shabbos. So the maskana, it really should be usher in both cases. And in fact, I asked Moreno Rav Schechter, and he thought that in both of these cases it was usher. But a couple of things, a couple of outside factors to take into account. First of all, in the case of the challah that was purchased, it was purchased 26 minutes after Shkia on Friday night. So while that is definitely a time where we have to have stopped doing malacha, it may still be within a window that some would consider to not yet be Vaday Shabbos. So maybe just as a possibility to keep in the back of our minds if there are other snifim lahakel. Also, Rav Schechter pointed out that you have to always be cognizant of a person who used to be religious and is no longer religious, who's still trying to connect to religious friends, that maybe by not using his items, or at least not using it in a very obvious way that you're rejecting it, that it might be merachek him further, and one has to take that into account as well. A third thing to take into account is what's called direct hana'a. The Bir Halacha quotes from the Chayei Adam that if the item doesn't change as a result of the malacha, meaning it was just brought derech hotza'a from Rishus Rabim or something like that, so the item didn't go through any change, maybe that's not called that you're being nehene from the malacha, because the item didn't go through any change. Bir Halacha is very hesitant to rely on that, says maybe for a derabanan we could rely on it, but certainly not for a daraisa. And also the further question then becomes, okay, so let's say the challah is going to be asr, can you now use it for Lecha Mishnah? Is that called getting hana'a from the challah to use it as the second loaf in Lecha Mishnah, where you're not going to eat it at all? And by the way, next time we have time in Halacha, we'll talk about using an asr loaf of bread or an unusable loaf of bread, by the way, for Lecha Mishnah. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. Mm-hmm.